One summer many years ago, I became engaged, and my fiancé at the time and his two daughters and I, they were seven and ten, Vanessa and Jessica, we loaded up our family van, or their family van, since we weren't married yet, and drove across Canada from Kelowna to the Ottawa Valley to visit my family. And we passed through the majestic Rockies. We drove over the prairies dressed in the green of July growth and by the vast expanse of Lake Superior. And through all of the trip, its ups and downs, one thing remained constant. Vanessa and Jessica had their heads stuck in books, barely glancing out the windows. I kept looking in the back seat, thinking they had perhaps died or something. I couldn't understand it. I kept saying, "Where is your sense of wonder, girls? Look at our country. Look at we're driving past." I simply couldn't believe what seemed like indifference to such beauty and grandeur all around us. Well, our modern world doesn't really encourage wonder. We're more prone to think about things like worry or understanding or simply rushing by things with a bit of indifference. Dag Hammarskjöld said years ago, "If spiritual things become a drag and the message of Christmas is dull, you can be sure the problem is not in the message, but in your loss of awe and wonder at the message." We have a saying, familiarity breeds contempt, but more often than not, familiarity just breeds indifference. And the more familiar we become with something, the less fascination we have. The newest fades and we lose the wonder. And that's what often happens at Christmas time too. We get caught up in all of the festivities, or trying to avoid all of the festivities, perhaps. We're doing all sorts of other things, and we lose the wonder. And we've heard that story over and over again, and slowly over a couple of thousand years, it might just get a little less shiny, a little more diminished. And it fails, perhaps, to spark much in us spiritually. The old, old story sometimes becomes just the old, old story. But Christmas is continuously a contemporary event. Whenever the message of it is preached, something wonderful still happens. And I don't mean just preached by the preacher, I mean preached by all of us who experience it. Every time Christmas comes, Jesus takes the opportunity to be born again in the hearts of those who pause long enough for a bit of wonder. Now, I knocked over a couple of shepherds on my way to read the gospel. It's not hard to do. They're a bit tipsy on that little table where they were placed last night while we watched the awe and the wonder of the little children as Margaret told the story. And watching them, you realize that hearing it for the first time from someone else's eyes, those little shining eyes on Christmas Eve, is sure to spark a sense of wonder. But in the story of the Nativity, there's lots of things to wonder at. But for me, I think the shepherds are the most amazing. Maybe that's why I knocked them over this morning. The reason they're amazing is because they're ordinary, very ordinary. They are, in fact, the lowest parts of society, not paid much attention to. But they go from that, from their everyday lives, tending sheep, to being evangelists, as they begin to spread the good news and the wonder of what they experienced the night Jesus is born. Their evening was probably pretty mundane. Out there they were watching the sheep, trying to stay awake perhaps, fend off some wild-on animals. And it went from that to being the most exciting event in history. The coming of Jesus revived their life and gave them new meaning. They were no longer shepherds. They were then servants of God. What an experience, what a change, what wonder. Astonishing, isn't it? The visit of an angel, a trip to a manger, the meeting of a baby, and they tell the world. If it wasn't for the shepherds, we would have no idea that this even happened. There's a story about young Queen Victoria, who had just ascended to the throne, and she was attending a presentation of Handel's Messiah. And she was instructed not to rise to her feet when others stood for the Hallelujah chorus, because, of course, she was special. As the orchestra and the chorus resounded with, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth," that's really hard to say on Christmas morning, she remained seated with difficulty. But when the chorus began to sing the overpowering line, "For he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords," she suddenly stood and bowed her head as if to take her crown and cast it at his feet. Her actions were a silent singing of glory to God in the highest, of giving in to wonder above protocol. Last night, we had another group of people here at the late service, and it was a full church. And I always wonder at that. I wonder at the people I see once a year, and I wonder at the people I've never seen before, and I find it wonderful. The mixing of people, the people who gather on this night because they are drawn to this sacred and beautiful place. And we've been singing carols and drinking mulled cider, and there was lots of noise and happy sounds in the church, and people getting ready, and candles being lit, and vestments being put on. And then we lit all the candles, as they are today, on all the altars, and the clergy and the choir went into the hall, and the lights were turned out. And there was complete and total hushed silence of over 200 people who were here last night. And it lasted for about 5 minutes until Gordon started to play. And even then they were quiet. Someone I know who was here last night who doesn't regularly come to church mentioned to me at the door on the way out that that was one of the most remarkable moments that they had ever encountered. It was a moment of wonder. When all the distractions of our lives were taken away, there was not even any light by which to see your neighbor. When there was not really any sound, it was between the organ and the hush and all the stuff that was going on. It was between that moment, and it was silent. I actually had to tell the choir to be quiet for once. I never tell them to be quiet. I said, you're actually louder than the people out there, and there's a couple hundred of them. It was a moment of deep wonder, and it's one that I won't never forget. And I trust that it was transformative for somebody, at least, who was there last night. You see, we need those moments when we're regenerated in wonder, because those moments are the ones that give us the energy, the courage, the life, the love to share it, to be like the shepherds. Those moments are the times when the angels sing to us and give us a little prod and say, "Now get out there and tell everyone about this good news." Because the shepherds, it says, went and repeated what the angels told them to everyone. They heard it and they wondered at those things, and they went and they exclaimed it to the world. Wonder, you see, is brief often. We too often want to move into figuring it out or analyzing it, or perhaps even just dismissing it. But it's kept alive by multiplication. It's like the fire of a candle. If it's just left on its own to burn out, it will go out. But if it's touched to another candle's wick, it multiplies and the light becomes brighter. And that's what wonder does for us. So when you're journeying through life, it may not be driving across the prairies and the mountains of our country, but when you're journeying through your own mountains and valleys in your life, remember to look for the wonder, to pay attention to it, to open yourself up to it, and to proclaim it after it happens. Because the best thing about wonder is that it's a great gift to share. And when you share it, you get it back again. So that's my hope this Christmas, that at some moment you will have a moment of wonder where you rest in it, and you'll experience that life-changing power that comes from it, the life-changing power that happened in that stable many years ago, and that you may embrace it, share it, and live it this Christmas day and always.